Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. As God, our parent, has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my parents' commandments and abide in her love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Here ends our scripture. What does one say on their first day back after 2 months of family leave? Well, one says thank you, first and foremost. Thank you, beloved Lindale, for the tremendous gift of a just and generous family leave. As I begin my last month of leave spread out over May and June halftime, I want to affirm again how horrifying it is to me that paid family leave is not a right in this country. And I want to affirm how beautiful it is that Lindale is a church that does the really hard work of modeling the practices of the world we believe is possible instead of just imitating the world we've been given. So thank you. As an offering of gratitude, I feel like I should have some kind of earth-shattering revelation for you. After all, I've been spending a lot of time at the holy edges of life with my infant, who's finding the world for the first time, and with my mom, who had a stroke while I was on leave and who's finding a new relationship to the world. Instead, much of the last few months feels like a total fog that has yet to clear. And I have just a few new glimmers of God that have managed to shine through so far. So here are some of them through the lens of this morning's scripture. Our scripture says, as God, our parent, has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. It's so lovely and poetic, right? But what does that mean, abide? It means so much and so little to me. It's too pretty to be concrete. Some other translations of that Greek word we have as abide are wait, to endure, to live, to remain, to stay, or to stand. My favorite of these is to endure. Something changes for me when I read this scripture as Jesus telling me to, quote, endure in divine love. Because if we're going to grow spiritually over the course of our lives, it will be an endurance sport. It will not be a sprint. Yeah. My beloved Augustine is teaching me that this kind of abiding, this kind of enduring in love, is first and foremost a reflex. It is how we are born. And only over time does it become a conscious muscle instead that we have to strengthen, that can get injured or need repair. When she was first born, there was no life outside of utter dependence on the love surrounding her. Calling out for food, help sleeping, a diaper change, or snuggles with tears and squawks was utterly reflexive. And receiving our love hungrily was a reflex too. When does the reflex to abide, to wait in, to endure, to live in utter interdependence with love, dissipate? How does it change from an involuntary response to become a muscle we have to choose? How does that muscle grow weak or tear? How does it heal and grow strong and nimble again? Depending on our lived experience and the experience the world imposes on us, depending on the histories that live in our bodies, the story is different. But I want to believe the reflexive instinct to endure in love still lives in each of us. I want to believe that in each other's and in God's company, we might find healing and strength training we need to abide in divine love as if by reflex again. Our scripture continues as Jesus says, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Beloved Lindale, we spend a lot of time talking about building a more just world here and now. But why? Why are we up to all this hard work of changing the world in the way Jesus has taught us? In the way God leads us? For the sheer joy of it. And the brilliance of joy still possible for you and for me and for everyone. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to forget in the day-to-day struggles. I don't know about you, but these days, as our country keeps spinning further and further out of the orbit of justice, joy can feel like a cliche or naive or just pretty fragile and far away. I need the hyper-concrete to ground me in the possibility and purpose of joy again. These days, even the long, exhausting ones, August is like the sun, pulling me back into joy's presence. How many of you have ever had the honor of going into a baby's room to get them up after they wake up for a nap? Yeah. Let me tell you about what it's like when August wakes up. Sometimes there are tears. And sometimes she just chats with herself until we come in. But either way, when we walk in and greet her, she smiles and clasps her hands as though she has never seen anyone so beautiful or so lovable in her whole life. She positively squeaks with joy. And her joy is contagious. I wonder what she notices in me that I struggle to notice sometimes. Her little soul is more recently present in this world. So maybe she sees me in ways closer to how her source, God, sees me. A possibility for complete living joy. How do I live into that possibility? How do all of us who are a little further away from that time of total union with God in the spirit world maintain the ability to see joy in each other and feel that joy? Maybe we all need to practice greeting each other the way August greets me after a nap, as though we have yet to develop object permanence. So we have sheer wonder and amazement at the mere fact of each other's existence. Our scripture concludes, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." My friends, I will spend my whole life trying to figure out what that means. How exactly one loves as God loves. That's the work of all the generations of humanity who've read this scripture. Augustine is also teaching me harder things about what it means to love as God loves. How many of you have heard of sleep training? Yeah. This might be one of the most controversial topics I've ever preached on. Parents these days almost universally have very strong feelings about it. Sleep training is a catchphrase for a zillion different methods and theories to teach your child to fall asleep on their own. In the midst of exhaustion beyond what I've ever known, after 4 months of sleeping in only 1 to 3 hour blocks of time, I read 4 books and many articles because information is what makes me feel some semblance of control in the world. I was trying to figure out what would be the best method for our particular kid and our particular parenting. The one we chose, we knew would involve some short periods of crying for our baby. And it turns out it would also involve some short periods of crying for her parents. But what surprised me was how, after just one night of crying, it subsided dramatically for all three of us. After just a few days, our baby was putting herself to sleep faster and with less crying than when we rocked her and shushed her and loved her to sleep. This was humbling, to say the least. What does this have to do with God and loving like God? August is teaching me that loving like God means loving with deep humility and respect for the limits of our own power. I thought my daughter's sleep depended on my holding her just the right way, for just the right time, under just the right circumstances. I thought I was the omnipotent God of her sleep, to put it theologically. But I don't actually believe in an omnipotent God. I believe in an omnipresent God. Maybe just like us teaching our baby to sleep, God is hunched over the proverbial video monitor of our lives. Timer running for this block of learning. Cheering us on, achingly loving us through the pain of watching us learn through our tears, and sometimes crying along herself, knowing she can't do it for us, but she can love us through it. Maybe she too comes into our rooms after we have fallen asleep, sniffs our heads, and kisses us in holy wonder. Maybe this is the power of God's ever-present love. Not to do it for us, but to teach us our own resilience, our own power. As God, our parent, has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my parents' commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. May it be so. Amen. Amen.